This is the recording of a sermon given at St Matthew's Church on Sunday the 13th of July on Acts chapter 20, verses 17 through to 24. Let me read the passage. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you, from the first day I came into the province of Asia. I served the Lord with great humility and with tears and in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we listen to your word, please would you give us ears to hear and hearts that are soft to be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Last Wednesday evening, we had the swearing in of about 50 to 60 church wardens from churches all over East Sussex. Whilst we await the start of the new Archdeacon of Hastings, I was asked to take the service on behalf of the Archdeacon of Brighton and Lewes. Struck me as I came to our passage today that we had a similar type of gathering back in the Apostle Paul's day. Apostle Paul has called together all the elders from the church in Ephesus, and we have recorded in Acts 20 his final sermon and words of encouragement to them. In this passage, the Apostle sets out the principles and convictions for his own ministry and encourages the Ephesian church leaders to do the same. Over the next couple of weeks, we will look at this passage in some detail. On one text, we're going to be looking at a masterclass for healthy churches. We'll see set out for us a pattern of ministry that I believe we should be seeking to replicate here in St. Leonard's to the honour and glory of the Lord Jesus. The passage is directly relevant to anyone involved in any form of ministry in the life of the church. Whether you're helping with a toddler group, leading a small group, a member of either church's PCC, helping with our ministry to children, young people, or serving in one of our teams, this passage is for you. And in one sense, this passage is indirectly for all of us, because you need to hold me and the church wardens to account that we're putting this pattern of ministry into practice. Before we dive into the passage, let me remind you of the context. We're in the book of Acts. The history of the early church from Jesus' ascension into heaven. And the Apostle Paul is travelling around modern-day Turkey and Greece, planting and strengthening churches. We know from our passage last week that Paul is now on his way back to Jerusalem. And on the way, he stops off at Miletus, a town on the sea front, about 30 miles away from Ephesus. And so it would have been about a three-day journey to go and visit the Apostle Paul. The elders of the church in Ephesus arrive, and the Apostle Paul begins, verse 18, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you, from the first day I came into the province of Asia." Paul is speaking to them about a pattern and model of ministry that he showed and laid down for them. I want to draw out three things, and they all begin with M this morning. First up, we have Paul's mindset, which was to serve with humility and tears. Have a look with me in your Bibles at verse 19. The Apostle Paul says to the elders, "I serve the Lord with great humility and with tears and in the midst of severe testing by the plots of all my Jewish opponents." The heart of ministry for Paul is service. All Christian ministry is service. I served the Lord. Service, of course, is an action or work performed for the benefit of others. Service, by definition, is other person-centred. I notice that Paul's service is service ultimately of the Lord. The Apostle Paul is not serving Church HQ in Jerusalem. He's not serving himself. He's seeking to serve God. And so friends, as we think about any form of ministry we're involved in, what's our mindset? Are we first and foremost about serving others? Is our mindset to put the Lord as the audience of one? And we need to be honest that sometimes we do things in church life for our own benefit. You ask people how a ministry activity has gone, and the first thing they talk about is what they got out of it, rather than how they've loved and served others. It's possible in church life to live for the approval of the pastor, the team leader, the church warden, the bishop or the archdeacon, rather than the approval of the Lord. Which means we must ask the question, what is our mindset in any ministry we're involved in? Paul says, I serve the Lord with great humility. I take it, therefore, that Paul's mindset was to have a big view of God and a small view of himself. And we know that, don't we, from Paul's letters. Paul ultimately is not about his own glory and his own name, but he's about the Lord. One thing that struck me is was in Paul's ministry in Philippi, one of those towns where he planted a church in modern-day Greece. He plants the church and has to leave following a miraculous escape from prison. Later on, he writes to the church in the New Testament letter, Philippians, and he speaks of how some have stirred up trouble for him. And he writes, 1 verse 18, what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this I rejoice. Paul is a wonderful example of great humility. He's not about himself. Paul also explains that his mindset is one of tears. We see tears in verse 19, and we're going to see it again in the passage in verses 31 and 37. Paul is emotionally invested in the Ephesian people and in the ministries he's involved in. There can be a tendency in our British culture of people not to show their emotions. Not so for Paul. He cries and sheds tears for the people he served and loved. In our ministries, are we committed to investing in people? Is our ministry more than just superficial? Are our small groups wanting to love and serve others? Are we willing to be vulnerable to do that? This passage reminds us of the mindset we should have as we serve, and also guides us into those we should be seeking to appoint to lead our ministries. Are they those committed to serving the Lord with great humility and with tears? And notice that this Paul's ministry comes in the context of severe testing. Christian ministry is hard, trials will come, and the church elders are warned of the reality they will face. Our first thing this morning, Paul's mindset to serve with humility and tears. Having thought about Paul's mindset, we now move on to Paul's method, which was to teach people publicly and privately. Verse 20. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that will be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. Paul is clear, isn't he, that right at the absolute centre of his ministry is preaching. And that will come as no surprise to us as the reader of Acts. The church grows through the preaching of the word. The word preached in the power of the Spirit grows the church. So for today, our ministry must be built around Bible teaching. That is how the apostle grew and strengthened churches, and we must do the same. And notice where this teaching takes place, publicly and from house to house. I take it the public Bible teaching Paul has in mind was done on a Sunday. In Ephesus, that started in a synagogue, and later the venue changed to the lecture hall of Tyrannus. The public reading of the Bible and preaching must be central to our Sunday gatherings. But Paul's ministry was also house to house, midweek in houses, one to one with believers. A reminder of the importance of midweek discipleship groups, pastoral meetings, baptism preparation, and discipleship of new believers. We need to create space in the week where the Bible's opened and Jesus Christ is taught. A reminder for me that this is a role of the minister, preaching and teaching, Sunday and midweek. It's a role that I must prioritise if the church is to grow. Notice also how Paul says that he has not hesitated to preach anything. The Greek word here speaks of the temptation to shrink back. In any Christian ministry, there'll be a temptation to avoid difficult issues. The Apostle Paul hasn't done that. He has not shrunk back from teaching anything that would be helpful. He knows his congregation and he addresses the issues they are facing. A reminder that our Bible teaching must be applied and connected to our lives. We must not avoid talking about things that we all face day to day. Whether that's stress or anxiety, work or leisure, sex and relationships, friendships and parenting, marriage and singleness, money, possessions, mental health. We must address all the issues that would help people follow Christ. The Apostle Paul's Bible teaching helped the people engage and connect to the issues of life. Some no doubt being dealt with in the whole church, others on a personal basis. There was a place for both. Friends, are there issues that you are facing where you want to know what the Bible says? Tell me and we will make sure they are addressed either on Sundays midweek or in one-to-one conversations. I want this to be a church where we teach everything that would be helpful. Notice also in this verse that Paul's ministry was to all people, to Jews and Gentiles. Paul's ministry is to all. And that leads us to verse 20, which seems to me a summary of the real heart of Paul's teaching. He says he calls people to turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. The heart of the Christian call, the heart of our preaching, is to call people to turn in repentance and faith. And of course, Paul's message was exactly the same of our Lord Jesus. Mark 1 verse 14, Jesus says, "The kingdom has come near. Repent and believe the good news." At the heart of our message, are we calling people to say sorry, repent of their sins, and turn and have faith in Jesus Christ? Let me say a few words, firstly about repentance. This is where we're calling people to say sorry for their failure to love God and a failure to love others. When I speak to new believers, people generally either find it very easy or very hard to accept this. Some know they've messed up and know they need to repent. Others find the concept hard that humans are not good but sinners, and that all need to repent. The Bible is clear, we've all fallen short, and we all need to say sorry to God. But of course, the message in two parts. We call people to repent, but as we do that, we're calling people to believe and trust in Jesus. And of course, that is the wonderful news. The gospel calls people to trust the Jesus who loves them, the Jesus who died for their sin on the cross, the Jesus who bore God's wrath in their place. Jesus bore God's judgment so we might be forgiven, that we might know God, be adopted into his family, and have a relationship with him as a loved child. It is this glorious gospel that Paul is calling each of us to believe. If you're here today, and you've never made that decision to repent and turn to the Lord Jesus, please can I encourage you to do that today. Paul's method, to teach people publicly and privately, we must do the same. And that leads us to Paul's mission, which was to finish the race. Let me pick it up, verse 22. "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Now, the first observation I want us to note here is the Holy Spirit is leading the apostle. Again, a familiar theme that we've seen throughout the book of Acts, the Spirit guides and leads the Apostle Paul as he preaches and teaches the Bible. Second observation I want to make is that Paul is a risk taker. I notice verse 22, he does not know what's going to happen to him when he lands in Jerusalem. He just trusts God. And the question comes to us, are we willing to be those who trust God and take a risk? Take a risk not knowing the future. It would be my observation that we are in a town and a denomination that is naturally risk averse. We fear change and want to control what God will do. But if the Holy Spirit is with us, what have we got to fear? If we as a church or as individuals are called to take risks in the next few months, would we be willing to take them? In particular, are we willing to take a risk where the outcome at the end is uncertain or unknown? Paul then speaks in these verses about his particular calling. The Apostle Paul, of course, was called by God to reach non-Jewish people, Gentiles, with the gospel, the good news of God's grace. And Paul's focus is seeking to fulfill that race, that task that he has been given. Note how he says, I consider my life worth nothing. In other words, this being obedient to God is a thing that is first and foremost and most important to Paul. And he's wanting to be obedient even where that means prison and hardships ahead. Now, God is not calling us to that specific apostolic ministry. But he is calling each one of us to live obedient lives for him. He is calling each one of us to be committed to going out with the good news of God's grace. Friends, what is God calling you to? What mission is he calling you to as an individual and to us as a church? And are we committed to finishing the race that God has set out for us? So as we draw to a close, let us consider the things we've talked about. Paul's mindset. He sought to serve with humility and tears. As we go about our different ministries, what's our mindset? Do we have a big view of God and a small view of ourselves? Are we emotionally invested? Paul's method was to teach publicly and privately. Are we committed to ensuring that Bible teaching remains at the heart of our life as a church? And Paul's mission? To finish the race. To be obedient to the Lord Jesus, whatever the cost. Are we willing to commit our lives to be obedient to Christ, whatever the cost may be? Why not take a moment to ponder and consider these things this morning?